tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you doing? My name is Liz, this is JD, and this is RBLR Sun FC.
Hello, good morning.
We didn't have a game this week.
I know, it's so boring when we don't have a game.
Yeah, we had 1 week back, and now we're like, nope, take a break.
But it's fortunate that we didn't have to compete with the Super Bowl, I suppose, maybe.
True.
I don't know. Great halftime show.
Yeah, I mean I didn't realize it was the Super Bowl until you said, until I was gonna drop something off, and then you were like, yeah, we're going to a Super Bowl party at 5. I was like, oh, that is today.
I probably also wouldn't have known it was the Super Bowl, but we were invited to like a family function. So that was like, you know, yeah. I am not keeping track myself. But I would have known if it was a Sun game, but it was not. So
Yeah. Mike and I spent the Super Bowl watching Fallout on streaming.
Nice. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
it's good. You should.
How are you doing this week leading up to the game?
Not too bad. A little, maybe a tiny bit nervous, as I wasn't expecting DC Power to beat Sporting Jax.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was a blowout or anything. Like, it was just, it was 1-0, but like, Ashley Puerta missed a PK.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it. It was an interesting result. I'm under the weather today, if you can't tell. So I apologize for any sniffles that come through on the broadcast. I've been staying hydrated, so we'll see. I should be okay, but hopefully I'm in good shape by Saturday. I'd hate to miss a game. So
snaps for JD for coming through.
I'm here. But what I did actually appreciate seeing was our first bit of news that the team gave us, which is not news to us, obviously, but it was just nice to see. February 4th was National Girls and Women in Sports Day. We're a women's soccer league, obviously, we're all about it in the league in its entirety. But specifically, the Sun, for one, is our local, and for two, they, at least in their article they posted about it, named themselves the only club across the NWSL and Gainbridge Super League with an all-female sports leadership team. So obviously our ownership has men in it, but president, sporting director, coaching, led by women. We love to see it. It's a very cool commitment to the idea overall. It's like, it's not just a league for female athletes. We've seen this with the NWSL to a degree, although people would argue the NWSL and WNBA coaching still suffers from being male influence / dominated.
There's a running joke in the NWSL channel on the Super League Discord, on the USL Discord, that they are just the reigning champions of bald white coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there are hundreds of good male coaches that absolutely can coach a team. But it's nice to see not only, you know, our ownership bought a franchise slot in a league and then brought on a president that is a woman, brought in a head coach that's a woman. And like, those things do make a difference, regardless of what you want to say about performances or how things are run or whatever. They've done a lot of really, really good things. So super great to see. Very appreciative of our team existing, and giving opportunities to, I mean, my ticket rep at the Rowdies became the director of soccer at the Sun. Like, that's like, they literally said, look, any women who want to move up in sports in Tampa Bay, it looks like they genuinely gave opportunities to women who might not have had, she might have had to move somewhere else to get an opportunity like that. So the fact that it came to Tampa Bay for her, shout out Sam Ishii. But
I was about to say, shout out, yeah. Sam, we love her.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool that they shared that, you know, tooting their own horns a little bit, as they should, on a pretty significant day for our league overall. So, but that is also the only team news, at least to date, that we have. After our last game, going into this next game, there was talk of if we might have another signing. And then we also were like, well, we didn't get a signing that we thought we were going to get, but then she was still released from her previous team. So we don't know what's going on. Trinity, you know, wherever you are.
Hope you're having a good time. That's who's married to the other Cameron Lancaster. Yes. We figured that out afterwards.
I think they're just dating, but yeah. Oh. But, you know, wherever she's at, not playing soccer right now, presumably. Hope she's having a good time. She was in Tampa recently. We don't know.
You know, it could be just one of those things. Like, I don't understand quite how it worked because I'm pretty sure Hawk's daughter went back to Europe to play. Still comes and visits Jordy, like, way more times than I would expect, like, considering how much international flights cost.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe stuff is covered for the team. Like, I don't know. But we don't necessarily need anyone. I'm not calling for more signings.
No.
I think the last game proved to me that if we don't add anyone in the spring, I mean, there might, for one, Tosh Flint could come back. That is a possibility on the table. And then if we do
and
make
we
another
keep
signing,
Faith Weather regardless,
right?
Just so people remember. Sorry.
No, you're totally right. And so, like, I think we have a great squad. I think we have an improved squad from the fall season, based on the departures and arrivals and based on how those arrivals performed in the last game. And I'd love to see that built on. But at this point, I'm not, as like a Sun fan, calling for, we need more signings, we need to bring in somebody else. If they're around, if we haven't announced somebody yet, announce them, let us know. Otherwise, I'm very happy with who we have so far and who's going to be playing DC on Saturday. And we can get into the game preview now.
Yeah. So, Saturday, Valentine's Day, and they still went with girl dinner. Like, I still just think, like, date night at the Sun was right there.
Every other one is a date night. This one is for the single ladies.
Yeah, what? Okay. I just have some questions. I don't think I'll ever get answers, but that's okay. However, their marketing team really does need to go, like, hit up the Rays if they can, because the Rays just came out with some amazing promos for this year. I am legitimately jealous of the Windbreaker, I'm not going to lie. So that's what I was talking about when I said that they need to work on their promos. That was a completely separate thing. But they are doing a Galentine's Day club promotion. It's BOGO tickets. There's girl dinner ticket promotion, which is like one of their a canned espresso martini. It's the Cutwater beverages. They're pretty good. According to my boyfriend, I don't drink that much, so he's the one who taste tests stuff for me. It was like a salad and then also a side of french fries, and like they almost got there with the side of french fries.
I like it. Salad? It seems,
I guess,
it's
just enough carbs to soak up the espresso martini.
It seems a bit insane, but I did notice today that That's So Tampa, famous brunch crowd periodical / blog website, wrote an article that this is exactly what you need for your Galentine's Day. And so if that is what gets us local media, then bring the girl dinner to Tampa Bay Sun.
I'll take cringy promotions. Yeah, if it puts butts in seats, then yes, I will take cringy promotions.
We talked about it with Gasparilla a little bit too. It's silly, I think, but I think it's okay if our ticket promotions are silly, if we're doing like fine otherwise. Obviously our season is not going fine, but we have made improvements, we're working on it, we know that minds are in the right place. So if the ticket office has a little fun with it, and if it gets some blog articles written and 20, 30, 40, 100 couple more people come out this weekend that probably might not even have known a game was going on, then good. But I enjoyed this one line in the write-up about it. We got the email today, I think, that was like the ticket promotions, and it was that it's going to be a a fun friendship focused atmosphere, which, Tampa Bay Sun, are you friend zoning me? But also, I'm bringing my wife, but do I have to friend zone my wife at the Sun game if it's a friendship focused atmosphere? I also don't know what that means. Is it just going to say, like, you know how we have the light up sign? Is it just going to be like friends? Like, I don't like, I don't think it's going to be far off that, which is what actually is making me laugh. Yeah. But yes, there is a BOGO ticket promotion. So you and your bestie or your significant other, any combination of relationship you have, or you and somebody random on the street, buy two tickets and then, you know, walk up to somebody on the street and give it to them. There are a couple different offers going on for this game, but it's just very funny. Like, I don't know. We have like normal ones coming up. I think we have, I mean, Pride Night still is coming up. Fan appreciation. Those are more normal. One of them is a women in sports related thing. I don't remember the exact wording of the promotion was, but that's another one. So like, those are all good too, but just specifically being on Valentine's Day, I guess they thought they had to cook and maybe they did. We will see.
I guess if they can get people to come out on Valentine's Day, that is a pretty impressive. I mean, yes. Us sickos will be there with our significant others, because that's just what we do.
Yeah, we drag them along every time.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to be playing the DC Power, so let me give you some rundown of where they're at in the league, and then we can get, you know, into more specifics about them. DC Power is currently in sixth place in the table. We're in ninth. Don't have to remind you that, but it's the fact of it. They're 4, 5, and 6, which just was fun to say, honestly. They're pretty mid. They're definitely, they're a team that can lose games. They're a team that has had trouble scoring. They have 20 goals for, 19 against. So, I mean, pretty much the definition of mid. We'll get into maybe a couple of the key players a little bit later on that have, you know, put them into games that they might not have been in otherwise. I don't see them as a team that's radically different from us in terms of having not fully figured out what's working for them, but possibly maybe they're starting to figure out in the spring, which is also related to us. And that is because they have played one match so far in the spring on February 7th, and it was against Jacksonville. Jax is up there in the table. I don't think they're first anymore. Are they second now?
No, Lexington is first again.
Yeah. So Jacksonville's up there, though, towards the top of the table. Definitely pretty much a shoe-in for playoffs, you would say. And DC Power did take them down 1-0 on February 7th. So that's an interesting result to start the spring season. Looks like DC Power had something good going for them. Jacksonville might have had an off night. You know, we're with the players they have on their team, it's hard to imagine they lose too many games more in this half of the season. But yeah, you want to walk through how that game went down?
Me taking notes for this game, and I think JD, I think you saw me typing all my reactions to this.
Sometimes we're typing notes in the doc at the same time, and I just have to like sit and like watch it happen in real
time. It's fun. And I can imagine this was really funny, and it probably would have been even funnier to witness it in person, because the noises I made were inhuman, because I was just flabbergasted. So it's 0-0 for most of the match. 78th minute, Alyssa Walker, it's a new signing, this is her debut with DC Power, scores. On just Jacksonville being just kind of like lazy, I guess. The keeper gets caught out because they are running towards the 6-yard box line to just like scoop up the ball. They miss, and DC manages to pass it out to Alyssa Walker, who is completely uncovered, and it's easy right in the back of the goal. But then Ashlyn Puerta gets to take a penalty. Ashlyn Puerta, contractually obligated to score in every match. Ashlyn Puerta.
It's her job.
And it's my notes start with, oh, damn, she missed a PK in the 82nd minute. That's crazy.
That's just like from the match.
Oh, my God. She hit the post. It didn't even get saved. She just missed.
Yeah.
And I know it's really mean to take like this much joy in it, but it's Ashlyn Puerta, who's been scoring in every goddamn match. This is funny.
It was like an off-pace one too. Like she, not literally like a Paneka, but she like outside of the foot, like passed it to the corner, and like you can't, you just, she was wide by 10 inches. Like it just, it was like square off the post. It wasn't even like a bank off the post. It was like square, like the ball missed the net. So I don't know. And the keeper went the wrong way too.
The keeper didn't even guess right.
She lined it up pretty well. And the keeper dove the wrong way, and then she was like, all right, and then passed it and missed. So just like me for real is what I can say about that attempt.
I just have no words. So many things went wrong. It's just really funny.
I mean, it does.
I'm like almost crying.
It does feel like, and I mean, this like is the story of these two teams. It feels like Jacksonville didn't, I mean, obviously on that didn't finish an opportunity, but overall, just skimming through the game and looking at the key plays, a lot of energy for Jacksonville, a couple breakaways, a couple like overloads, fantastic opportunities that you expect a team in the top two in the table to be able to convert on. And they didn't. And I think on my light analysis, it was more down to Jacksonville not finishing the opportunity than it was to DC defending lights out. They did not
have... was a complete fluke of a goal.
Yeah, they didn't have an incredible... I mean, DC looked good. They stayed in it the whole game and they won. So, you know, credit to them. But it was definitely... Jacksonville walked away from that game pretty disappointed that they didn't get something on the board. And so I think the result might be a little startling if you're looking forward to us playing DC this weekend. But I think, you know, I think we have some more opportunity than it seems. They didn't play Jacksonville off the field. Jacksonville, you know, was asleep at the wheel a little bit. So
they had 14 shots with only two shots on goal for that entire match, Jacksonville. So they didn't like eat their Wheaties or something that morning. I don't know, but
yeah. Oh, and that was still more shots on goal because DC only had one shot on goal. And that was their goal. So even then, Jacksonville still had more. Like they were the better team. So,
I love reveling in Jacksonville's demise. Demise, as they sit in second place. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if this is the downfall, my analysis of how our season would have to go for us to make playoffs did involve a team like Jacksonville, essentially Lexington, Jacksonville. And then whoever's going to end up third, basically like cleaning house the rest of the season. Because if the top three teams beat everybody all the time, then that opens up points for us to sneak into fourth, which is pretty much sneaking in is the only way we get into the playoffs. So this goes against that plan that I had for the top three teams to take all the points. But we have our own opportunity. You make your own opportunities in this game. So hopefully we can convert on that. But I think that if you look at just that game, it was a fluke for Jacksonville. DC played a solid game, but I think we have some good opportunities in the matchups. I mean, we can start going through and talking about the different players that are available for each, and see kind of where our players match up to that and where we can find those opportunities if you want to get rolling on, unfortunately, our mutual player, our first one.
Well, just as a side note, Jada Bedoya, who, if you paid attention to the league, she's been with DC Power, I think her entire USL career. That's where she started in this league. She is currently out with a knee injury in that last match. So not that I'm wishing for people to be hurt, but if she could be out for this match too, that would also be great. She's a great player, unfortunately. But first player on the DC defense who didn't start in the last match, came on in the second half, was starting for a while, is Paige. If you remember Paige Almendares, but she really wants to go by Paige, even though it has her last name everywhere. She played for us the entirety of last year. She was like a pillar of our back line, and was we don't know what happened. She wasn't asked to return, didn't want to come back. We're not really sure. We got just woke up one day and saw that she was signed by DC.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting one. Wish her luck. Not on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping she forgets everything about DSB's tactics. Just Saturday.
They might be different now. She has different players available to her. So
this is true. Another player to keep an eye on is going to be Sydney Cummings. She is fourth in the league with clearances at a total of 91. And for reference, Henny is sixth with 87 clearances.
Yeah, I think the matchup with our offense and their defense is going to be an interesting one on Saturday. They're a team that keeps the ball. They can absorb pressure into the box, and that's where they'll gain control of it, either through a clearance, like a header out, or just like physical blocking. So I'm looking for like Nicello in this game to keep like her ground game really strong. I mean, this is where we've scored both of our goals last week, right? Pretty much. So just keeping that up for Nicello. Obviously, she always does. I also talked about on the last show, like, we have Nicello normalcy syndrome, where she's a stellar all-star player almost every match, especially going forward. And then we just kind of like forget and we talk about everybody else. So I do expect her to keep it on the ground and keep possession of it until maybe a shot or final pass to Parsons, Faith Weber, whoever ends up being up top, because that is not giving them an opportunity to cut us out, which has been a problem for us. We haven't found the connections. But what we saw last week with Fusco going forward, with Nicello going forward, and Parsons being on the end of it, there was one sequence where Faith Weber towards the end of the game had an opportunity to get on the end of one. She didn't turn her body in time, but she was positioned correctly. So things like that are what I'm going to be looking for us to keep the ball away from Sydney Cummings, because she just has a really good idea of what's around her in the box. And when an attacker is coming at her, she is cutting that pass out at the fourth most efficient rate in the league, apparently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the DC is also in a three-way tie right now with the Ascent and Sporting Jacks for passing accuracy at 77%. We are at 71, which isn't that much, but the whole like range isn't that much. So six is a lot. And when you look at our head-to-head stats, there's like a 10% difference or something like that. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And this is just what did we say? Sixth place. This is just sixth place. Like, they have a pretty decent defense, especially, with their next player, Morgan Aquino. Is their goalkeeper, second to Hope Heisey, with 41 saves and a total of 3 clean sheets.
Yeah, we seem to be up against it in goalkeepers these first couple weeks of the season restarting. Aquino looks really good in front of goal, made a fantastic save, at least one really great save against Jacksonville that I saw a highlight of last week. But overall, I think it's just going to be a case of our forwards and our strikers finding that striker, you know, they call it like that's a striker's goal, like finding where the corner of the net is open, finding where she isn't positioned, essentially. And it's a great opportunity also for Parsons to get into goal scoring form this season. She got her first goal last game, as like you said in the recap, you could see the weight lift off her shoulders. She was so relieved. She talked about it in the presser after, just how much of a relief it was. And so now that the energy has shifted from darkness to something more positive and something to build on, I think that I'm looking to Parsons for that, kind of keeping up her same game plan, keeping up how great her positioning is inside the 6-yard box. And she's going to have to find that creative final touch to get past the second best keeper in the league. But she got past the first one last week. 2 weeks ago. So definitely something she can do. And then also wearing her down. So we also have Faith Weber who can come in. She came in the 60-something minute last game. And she's also a striker. Parsons actually stayed out there. So we played both of them. And Weber was just, it was kind of a strike partnership at that point, as opposed to Parsons being up front alone. But she can bring a lot of energy. She's very young, and late into the game, if she does come in the 60th, 70th minute, and maybe we're going for a winner, maybe it's, you know, 0-0, maybe it's 1-1, and we have an opportunity to go ahead late in the game. Again, Faith Webber is going to have to find that creativity, that final touch to get it past a great goalkeeper. So that's what I'm looking for out of them. And obviously, you know, they're going to watch tape. They're going to figure out where her weaknesses are, you know, what side of the net she favors, where her defender's position, and hopefully we get that, you know, plan figured out and are able to score those goals.
Yeah. In their midfield, one of their biggest players of note is Emily Colton. She was on December's Team of the Month with Gianna Gorley, who we'll cover in a minute. But if you know Gianna Gorley, she played for Fort Lauderdale, and it was like one of Fort Lauderdale's worst loans possible, because for whatever reason, Fort Lauderdale did not want to play her last year. They loaned her to DC, and she has been with DC ever since. And she like, that's her home now. She is like the face of DC, except not really. It's Paige, because they feature Paige on, I think, every single promo. but she is like the face of the team at this point. Sorry, that's Gianna Gorley, but Emily Colton, apologies. Like I said, Team of the Month with Gianna Gorley. She is in a three-way tie, for fifth on chances created at 21. So she is going to be someone that we really, really need to contain.
Yeah. She's going to be strong moving forward, connecting with, you know, Gorley up front. And I think our best opportunities to slow that down are going to be through, obviously, Provenzano and through Listro in the midfield. I need to see a little bit more out of Listro this coming weekend. She wasn't weak in the last game, but I felt like she wasn't near the ball or on the ball as much as we needed her to be to control it in the midfield and pause. I don't want to see us have to go all the way back to defense to build up a play. I would love it if it started out of the midfield, then we take it to the wings, then we bring it to the box. Like, that would be a nice way to keep us from keep our energy up. We've seen the team do it a few times this season where we brought the energy up, we passed around the midfield until we got it forward. And then Provenzano as well, just that energy she had last week was great. She was my player of the match. I keep saying last week, it was 2 weeks ago, you know what I mean. But she was my player of the match, you know, and she just had, like I said, she had captain's energy to me. She brought the team together after we conceded. And so in the midfield, I just want to see the exact same performance out of Provo. I want to see a little bit more out of Listro, maybe finding maybe leaning a little bit more to defense to absorb pressure better, keep Colton under wraps, and then we can explode out forwards. We have a great, you know, group of players up front that we can start to get passes to and move it forwards. But I feel like if we let Colton push too much on our defense, if we're not shutting her down in the midfield, then that's when we can run into problems, because our defense has not been the stellar lights out we need them to be. As you can tell, we conceded two goals in our last game. So, and their attackers are pretty good too.
Yeah. So, the aforementioned, Gianna Gorley, or, G-Money, as the announcers feel like they have to mention every single match.
There's gotta be a chant. There's gotta be a chant in there. Like, no money. Like, we gotta, if we like shut her out, we gotta let her know about this.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to get the heat wave cooking on this. But yeah, I don't know why they feel the need to mention that, but they have mentioned it, I think, in every single match that I've watched of DC Power where she plays, which is all of them. She is third in the league on goals scored at 8, and first in the league at shots at 42. This is a 6th place team, guys. Oh boy, again, cannot believe Fort Lauderdale bungled this one. Like, absolute goldmine right here, and they just gave it away to DC, who last year was, like, so terrible. Yeah. And now, this year, really trying to make something of themselves.
Yeah. Well, Fort Lauderdale's kind of in the mud with us, right? They're, like, 7th or 8th in the standing. So, I mean, not to talk trash from literally the bottom, but they're paying for it a little bit. Yeah, Gourley is the main reason that I'm going to need more out of our defense this game. The two goals we gave up in the last game against a slightly better team, I wasn't too worried about it. And I think the situations surrounding those goals were the first one was kind of an open header in the box. So that one definitely needed to be that was more defensible. The second goal, you know, we talked about the foul or the potential foul before. So that one was a little bit just catching players off guard. I'm sure a mistake like that won't be made again. But I think we need to look for a shutout this game. I think they have fantastic. They have Gourley. They have fantastic options up front. And these kinds of players are not going to, if you give them a window, they're going to take it. So I would really like to see specifically Brooke Hendricks step up more. I don't know what the exact stats were on last game, but I feel like that was one of her, I don't want to say worst performances, but one of her weaker performances in a Sun jersey. Fortunately, we weren't a hole at the back. We definitely kept them only to two when they could have had more opportunities. But it needs to be zero. We need to not let two pass this coming weekend. So I hope that Brooke Hendricks, you know, is feeling it and finds some energy and watches some tape back and, you know, maybe the extra week break in the middle, you know, she gets a little bit more mentally locked in. Cause I definitely need to see more out of her. And then also, do we know who our starting keeper is going to be? I mean, I feel like Beardsley had no issues. So I want to say Beardsley should get the start easily. And I think that is going to be the case. I think she just earned the spot and then had a fine game. She had a fantastic sequence of saves right towards the end. And like I said, the goals weren't exactly, they were defensive weaknesses. They were not goalkeeper weaknesses. So Beardsley should get the start. But that's also what I was saying about Sydney Schneider, and then she is not starting anymore. So I don't know what we will see. I assume Beardsley will start. Like I said, it's a good problem to have if you have two good keepers, and I hope that's the case. I hope they're both you know, competing every day in training and making our strikers really work for it when they play scrimmages, and that would be nice to improve everybody on the squad. But I think it will be Beardsley that starts, and I think she would deserve the spot. And, you know, it's another matter of watching tape and figuring out the tendencies of the strikers and shutting them down. And I think that's what I'll be hoping for out of our defense. We got to shut them out. I think that would be such a big boost to the morale overall. And that starts, like you were saying earlier, in the midfield, they have a high passing accuracy and they love to move the ball around. We got to start being that team that holds possession a little bit more. Jacksonville actually had more possession than them last week as well, and they still lost. So just holding possession isn't enough. You got to make sure that when they have possession, you're doing enough off the ball to close down those lanes, fully shut them down, not give them the opportunity to take a shot. And that'll be, you know, our kind of keys there to hold them to zero, which I think would be, if we do that, then, and we win this game, I absolutely believe we have, like, we start making a case that we could actually do a playoff push. If we draw this game or lose this game, I think I'm ready to call it on the spring, like, overall. I mean, it's almost mathematically there already just by drawing last game, but, like, it's truly how you go into every single one, and it's a team in sixth. We're in ninth. We're going to have to beat teams in the top half of the table to do this, so shutting out a team that's even on goal differential, not fantastic looking overall, pretty mid, had one good game last week. They're going to be energized off of that. So we got to bring our own energy to it and shut them down.
Yeah. And DC is coming for us. They interviewed a couple of DC players after the Jacksonville match. I picked out Justina Gaynor's quote because they specifically asked about the match against Tampa Bay. Quote, "We just need to finish our chances. We created a couple of good opportunities and got it in behind a few times. Just getting more shots on goal will definitely increase our chance of scoring. As always, staying tight on defense, staying compact, and we need to get another shutout." So we are going to have a time on our hands, I think. Because both teams, they also are trying for a playoff push. They know that every point matters, especially when half the season is gone.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a tough one. I think score prediction, I'm going to err on the side of hope. I'm going to say a 1-0 win.
I think I'm with you. I think it's going to be harder to score goals in this game. I think they are a better defensive team than we faced already. So 1-1 draw.
Yeah. You can pick the same one as me. You don't have to. Yeah.
I don't know.
What's in your heart?
I should have thought of this before, right at this very moment, but I was sniffling earlier. yeah, I'm going to say a 2-1. I'm going to say we score two goals again. I really liked what I saw last week. I actually think, we are not so out of ideas moving forward. And I think we will not have trouble scoring goals in the spring half of this season. Please do not prove me wrong, Tampa Bay Sun FC, because I truly believe this. I would really like to see two goals again. And then if we keep him to one, I mean, I'd love to see 2-0 too. But the reality is, even if our defense plays better, I think we're still maybe the worst defense in the league, like as a stat. So even if we play better, there's still a chance that we give up a silly one. So for realism's sake, they get 1-2. But in my heart, we win 100-0 every game and it never happens. So.
Yeah. Super producer Eureka is predicting a 2-0 win. So we're all predicting a win, which is good. For the love of God.
Is it good? Don't
prove us wrong.
Do we know what we're talking about? I don't know.
I knew what I was talking about more last year, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I think we do have a good matchup. It's a team, like I said, that's on our trajectory. So if we beat them, it's more promising than it looks, I think. If we beat the team in sixth, that doesn't feel like it's amazing. I want to play Lexington and Jacksonville and beat them.
Any win but, at this point is going to feel phenomenal. I don't know what you're talking about.
If we do, truly, and the difference will be the defense. Like I said, I don't think we're going to have trouble scoring goals, so... If we can actually keep them to 1 or 0 and outscore them in the game, I mean, that's like a really dumb analysis thing. It's like, if we score more goals than them, we win. But I think it's more promising than that. I think it bodes well for our season overall. And like I said, constantly building, just building on that energy, a shutout, that would be fantastic. It would give our defense a lot of confidence and we could carry that forward. So, I really
nobody getting hip checked in the head.
Nobody getting keep our heads above hip level. Shoulders are softer. That's not true. They're like the same. But yes.
I forgot what I was gonna say, so I'm just gonna say like and subscribe. We're at RBLR Sports on the YouTube and at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Make sure you follow and then like all our posts so that you never miss a thing. Yes. Also, so if you go to the YouTube, you can see me laughing at the beginning of this episode, which is very, very funny. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. Cut to the live reaction of Ashlyn Parto missing a penalty where the keeper dove the wrong way.
It's just so good.
And may many more. And may many more happen.
Many. Oh, God, please.
Ashlyn Parto. Come to the Tampa Bay Sun and never miss a penalty again.
There you go. Yep.
That's my insanely hot, brave take right at the end.
I love it. That sounds good to me. On that note, I want to say that about wraps it up. Bye.
Hey, goodbye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.